Hello, everyone. This is J.B. Hickson with NBW Ministries, proclaiming the clear, accurate, and urgent gospel message from my studio beneath the sky, tucked away under the tall timbers of Colorado here on this gorgeous, sunny Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. We got a little snow yesterday, but not enough to really add to the accumulated snow already. But it's a beautiful day today. The sun is shining through the office window here, and really looking forward to diving into our world events update with Randy here momentarily. Thanks so much for joining us. We sure appreciate all of our listeners. You guys are the best listeners in the world. I can promise you that. Gracious, kind, encouraging, and we really appreciate it. Been a great week already as we come to the middle of the week. We had Billy Crone on Monday. Fantastic discussion. We piggybacked on that yesterday with our technologist friend, Shane. Both of those podcasts are well worth your time. Make sure you take the time to listen to those. And then we're not done yet. After today, we've got Gary Ka on Thursday and JP Prescott on Friday. So don't miss those. And we've got also our premier Zoom Q&A. Our next guest is set for that. Pete Garcia has agreed to be with us on April 23rd at 6 o'clock Mountain Time to take your questions. That's for our premier subscribers. Going to be a fun night. I love Pete, one of the most gracious guys you'll meet, and I can't wait to pick his brain on all things conspiratorial and biblical and prophetic. So again, mark your calendars. That's Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 o'clock Mountain, and plenty of time for those of you that are not yet Premier subscribers to sign up for that between now and then. We've got a lot of road trips coming up. I'll be in the pulpit at Plum Creek for the next 12 Sundays or so, but we're doing a lot of stuff midweek and Friday, Saturday stuff. So April 13th, I'll be not far from home here at the Self-Reliance Expo in Kiowa, Colorado. That's a one-day event that I'm speaking at. April 20th, the next Saturday, I'll be in Kiowa, Kansas. And really looking forward to that. I'll be with Ken Michael from Olive Tree Ministries. We'll both be speaking a few times at a conference there. And then in May, on May 18th, I'll be at Hot Springs, South Dakota, speaking once along with Josh Schwartz, also from Olive Tree Ministries. Looking forward to partnering with both of those guys. And then May 24th and 25th is the Mid-America Prophecy Conference. I'll be speaking a couple of times there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then June 27th through the 30th is the Prophecy Watchers Weekend in Colorado Springs. So all of these events are noted on the events page of our notbyworks.org website. We appreciate your prayers for safe travel and fruitful and edifying ministry. And if you're in any of those locations, love to have you come out and join me and Wendy and whoever else from our crew may be joining us on each of those road trips. Well, before we bring Randy on, let's take a look at a passage of scripture today from Proverbs 27. Today is March 27th. So the very first verse of Proverbs 27 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Great advice, great wisdom from God's word. It's echoed by James, the Lord's brother, in his epistle, one of the earliest New Testament epistles, when he says in James 4, beginning in verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, quote, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that, end quote." Great wisdom, once again, echoing the words of the proverb, Proverbs 27:1. You know, folks, we are not promised tomorrow, which is why we are so passionate about the urgency of the gospel and the urgency of getting the message out. You know, Paul tells us that we need to redeem the time in Ephesians. So we ought to be every day enjoying life, serving the Lord, definitely living the abundant life that Christ has given us. I'm going to be talking about that Sunday on Resurrection Day at Plum Creek. And by the way, be sure and come out and join us for Resurrection Day. Only one service Sunday, 10 o'clock. We have a breakfast at 8:30. Welcome to come to that as well. And then, of course, we live stream the 10 o'clock service. I'll be speaking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of holiness from John 11 and the story of Lazarus. But, you know, we are to redeem the time. These are crazy times, as we're about to hear from our weekly update with Randy. And it's important to to make sure you're ready. In fact, Proverbs 27 ends with the reminder to be diligent and know the state of your flocks. In other words, you know, take inventory, make sure you're ready, be prepared. And so in Proverbs 27 also repeats that principle that I often state from Proverbs 22, verse 6, I think it is, and it's repeated verbatim in chapter 27, which is, you know, the wise person sees trouble coming and prepares for it. So as we begin the podcast, I want to put out a couple of quick prayer requests here for some dear friends and colleagues. Three of the giants and stalwarts in the prophecy world are all struggling with some health issues. Bill Salas is having some serious back injuries, and I talked to him this morning. He asked us to pray for him. Ron Rhodes, another friend that I've worked with many times, he's not been on the podcast, but he's been invited. He's just been really struggling with his voice and has some health concerns there. So let's pray for Ron Rhodes. And then Andy Woods is also having some health issues, nothing too serious, we hope. But all three of these men, Bill Salas, Ron Rhodes, and Andy Woods, I know would appreciate your prayer. So let me pray for them, and then we'll bring Randy on. Lord, we do lift up our dear friends, Bill and Ron and Andy. We pray that you would just be with each of them as they walk down these health struggles and navigate these health struggles. We just pray for healing, pray for comfort, pray for grace. I know it's discouraging, especially I know these men's hearts, they so desire to get out and teach and preach and share the word and proclaim the gospel. So we just pray that you would strengthen them physically, watch over them, and protect them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, Randy is going to join us here. I can't wait to talk with him about so many things, as always. But we're going to kick it off by talking about the bridge collapse. And, you know, he's got some great sources, and I've learned always to trust Randy's sources. But this is one of those deals that we're getting competing, you know, testimony on from some other great sources. Was this a nefarious terrorist attack, maybe from Russia, kind of a shot across the bow, in keeping with a lot of the chatter that we've heard recently? Or was this just an organic accident? And these accidents do happen. I talked about in Orlando on one of my messages, you know, how I never write off as a coincidence that which can be more easily explained as a conspiracy. But at the same time, we do sometimes tend to see conspiracies where none exist. And so I can't wait to get Randy's take on it. I hope that you'll kind of take to heart what he's saying, and then also do your own research as always. We may not know ultimately and infallibly for some time whether this was anything other than just an accident. But Randy has some folks that he's talked to that will give us at least their perspective on this thing. Randy, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. I hope everybody is doing well. Another week. Like I've said before, you never know if we're going to make it week to week, but we're here for another one. Now, for everybody on the podcast, I want you to understand something. There are a lot of things going on right now. There's misinformation, disinformation. There is total baloney. There are some things that are partially factual, some that aren't. I spend more time debunking some of this stuff than I do investigating it. Now, JB and I, we always kind of go back and forth because he and I don't agree on everything. The stuff that we do agree on, I'm thinking we're probably 100% right. Right, JB?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But anyway. All right. So one of my sources in the Navy has had experience on aircraft carriers, submarines, and many, many years in intel. Now, I want to caution people, after being an investigator in insurance, private eye, all this kind of stuff for many, many, many years, things should never be decided, and don't make decisions immediately after things happen. Until you know the facts, it's hyperbole, conjecture, whatever you want to call it, okay? And I'm going to go over a couple of things here real quick. And there are several things that have happened in the last week. Everybody needs to know the facts because they are not as reported necessarily. Now, my gentleman that is in the Navy, I sent him a message yesterday and I go, hey, help me out here. I don't know what's going on. Can you shed some light on it? Basically, he has talked to other people. He's using his own experience. And I'm going to read to you what he said. This is a quote. I did speak to a couple of people today about the container ship today, particularly a pilot. This is not an airplane pilot. This is a ship pilot. He's on the West Coast, but he is apparently familiar with Baltimore Harbor setup. I have not navigated Baltimore's harbor before. He said the approaches are pretty straightforward, but there is some current, depending on the tide, that would push a ship around. The lights went off on this ship. First off, let me back up. He said that he watched the video and he's talked to these people, all right, and says that the ship lost power. The lights went off, flickered back on, and then went off. He thinks that the main propulsion was lost due to fuel issues. He thinks that the electronic engine controls might have failed and starved the engine. The rudder controls usually fail in the position that they were in when power is lost. If they have a main power casualty in a narrow passage, like a harbor or river, it is going to be a mess. It doesn't appear to be an auxiliary steering or electrical plant casualty. If it were almost anything besides main propulsion, an emergency backing bell would have lessened the impact. The ship would still have hit the bridge, but it might have done minimal damage, collapsed the pilings, damaged the road deck, etc. The backing bell would have pulled the bow over to the right, depending on the type of screw, which is propeller, which would have also lessened the direct impact. It takes a long time for reverse to take effect. Okay, he goes on to say, it isn't unusual given that a civilian container ship has less manpower, etc. Military ships have redundant crew for confined passages as we station someone in the aft steering for emergencies such as this. Most Navy ships also have redundant equipment online. Civilian ships don't have enough sailors or equipment to have too much redundancy. It is important to note that the Maersk Dali was leaving port as there were no tugs present. That means she was well away from the pier and had already dispensed with the harbor tugs, so the tugs had nothing to do with this whatsoever. The pilot boat was likely waiting a couple of miles away to pick up the pilot who was still embarked. That's the gentleman that's on the boat. The other gentleman he talked to didn't have too much to add. Basically, he handles harbor tugs in his neck of the woods, etc. But this is his conclusion. At this point, it doesn't look nefarious, but we will see what turns up in the next few days. Personally, I think it was an accident, but I'm prepared for anything these days. Now, what I want to add here, this gentleman has no agenda. He is one of our podcast members. He offered his services back when we were talking about aircraft carrier placement and stuff last fall. And what I did find out after this, we're going to have a lot more facts because boats, like aircraft, have black boxes. Until you get the interviews done, until you go through the black boxes, see exactly what took place, everything that everybody says is conjecture. Nobody knows. The ones on the boat might have a good idea of what happened, but they may not either. It's 1:30 in the morning. How many people were actually awake and helping steer the boat, right? We do know that the pilot or the captain called a mayday, which got everybody pretty much off the bridge except the construction workers. Basically, the traffic was stopped and a lot of fatalities and casualties were prevented. Now, my main point here is this. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. And as you see this morning, or you will see this morning, things are not as they appear. So take all the information in and then make a decision. Because I am one of those that deals in facts. I do not like conjecture. I do not like hyperbole. Because all it does is get people riled up. Causes a lot of problems for everybody, and the reason I am mentioning some of this is I've gotten some feedback from some of our listeners. They are extremely worried about what's going on in the world. They are having trouble coping with some of the things going on. So I want to basically bring back the reins on all the stuff that you're hearing, if it's not totally true and obvious, and just settle everybody down so we don't have people jumping off bridges and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because what we're going over in a few minutes is even more bizarre than this.
Yeah. And so that's very helpful. And you know, you're right. There's wild, unfounded speculation, but then there's studied, you know, reasonable speculation. And when you and I were at lunch yesterday with our friend Kelton, you talked about, you made some good points that I thought were, you know, again, nothing that proves anything, but that it's just stuff that most people might not think about, which, for example, if this was going to be a terrorist attack, why that bridge? It seems like there's other high value targets that would have made, you know, a bigger splash, no pun intended. But would have been more impactive. So, you know, there's things like that we have to all think through. To me, I guess the reason that I'm more inclined probably to suggest that this is foul play is just having studied this stuff for over 20 years and kind of seeing the fingerprints of a conspiracy. To me, there are a lot of data points that raise a red flag for me, such as this is the kind of thing that they did in Leave the World Behind, which was predictive programming, that Obama deal where you've got a rogue ship that they take control of and it crashes into the beach, a big old container ship, a cargo ship, no less. You've also got in that same movie how they took control of the Tesla cars. We know the technology certainly exists to take control of these type things. And then you've got the stuff that just happened in Moscow and Putin's threat to do something. You just don't know what you don't know. But I would say at this point, probably better to assume that it's, as your experts have been telling you, that it's nothing more than just an unfortunate, tragic accident. But, you know, there are a lot of things that we don't know yet. And so, as you said, time will tell. So excellent, excellent reporting on that. All right. What else have you got for us?
Well, we're gonna be here for a while, let me tell you. Okay, let's talk about Russia. Let's talk about this theater killing, massacre, whatever you want to call it. And again, if you pay attention to details, you can find what is somewhat true, what is not true, what is all baloney. And as I go through this stuff this morning, I'm going to show you how I make some decisions as to believable or not believable. You do what you need to do. You do your own research. But I'm telling you, I don't bring this stuff on the podcast unless I'm pretty sure of myself, because I don't like emails and phone calls that go, "What are you talking about? Where's your proof?" Well, we're going to go through that. So anyway, let's start with Russia. All right. Russia now blames the U.S., the U.K., and Ukraine for the massacre. Now, one thing I always look for, if it's a terrorist attack, they always want to take responsibility for it. It's one of the things I looked on the shipping incident. If there was anybody that was going to be responsible, they want to take credit for it. They need to feed their ego, and they need to make that known. Nobody said a word yet. They may, but they haven't yet. All right. So the FSB, which is the same thing as the KGB, basically has come to that decision. Now, I'm going to show you why there's a lot of this makes no sense. But now Russia supposedly has a reason to attack NATO, to attack the United States, to do whatever they want to. All right. So there's a lot of panic, a lot of chaos basically going on in Russia right now. Putin was reelected, but after this massacre, he's looking pretty inept. He's looking like he is not capable. And so he's worried. So he has taken a completely different viewpoint than he's had before. Basically, the gloves are off, and now people are going to start paying for what's going on. Russia has been pounding the Ukraine unmercifully for the last 3-4 days. They're taking no prisoners. They're not putting up with anything anymore. Okay. So as we go on with this little massacre, I want you to remember a couple of things. First thing, there was a security force in the same building of approximately 50 to 100 soldiers/police. They were within 3 rooms of where all of this was taking place. They did not respond. All right. So that's the first thing that sets off a flash in my mind. If this is a terror attack, why would have they not intervened? But they didn't. Okay. Moving along. Russia has been increasing the troops in the Ukraine. They're forming two new corps of Army to take care of business here in a few months. A corps, basically a division of Army people, would be somewhere between 10 and 20,000. A corps is a whole new set of an army. Okay, it could be up to 100, 150,000 personnel. They're setting up two of those, one in St. Petersburg, one of them more north of Moscow itself. All right, so they're building up the troops and things are going to be happening very shortly. All right, NATO has been sending B-1 bombers up around the Kaliningrad and up towards the Barents Sea, watching what Russia is doing with all of their manpower, because the Russian Northern Fleet is up towards the Barents Sea. The Black Sea Fleet, which Ukraine has caused a lot of damage, is in the Black Sea. So you kind of have to understand these are two different places. And then we have parts of the Russian Navy over in Kaliningrad. Now, NATO sent B-1 bombers right up to the border. They're causing all kinds of problems. Russia is going to retaliate. All right. There's just no question about it. All right. Russia, in the last 4 days, has switched on their distant early warning radar. They don't do that. They haven't done that before. Russia has also been using in the last 3 or 4 days new frequencies to contact their troops. Now, these frequencies, I looked at my ham radio stuff and the other information I have available. These frequencies could be used to contact satellites or an armed platform in space. These are not normally any type of frequency you would use to contact men. Okay, so we have all of this developed. All right. Now, the other day, Russia sent 26 bombers and 15 fighters towards Ukraine, basically trying to take out all of the command and control structures in the Ukraine. I don't know yet how successful they were, but Putin's taking the gloves off. He's not putting up with it anymore. All right. Ukraine has damaged 15 oil refineries in Russia. It has fully affected 10% of the oil being supplied. So it's going to be cutting into the economy very quickly. All right. They've also taken out 4 ships in the Black Sea. Now, some of the really new equipment's been in the Black Sea, some of them that Putin was really proud of and really liked. So they're trying to needle him. They're attacking the Crimea Bridge, all kinds of things. All right. Now, let's talk about the individuals caught at or right after this attack, all right? There were 4 of them that were initially caught. They were apprehended by the Chechen army people that are there serving Russia, all right? Now, there's a big difference between the Chechens and the Russians. The Russians, they still have some feelings, have a little bit of common sense. The Chechens are animals. One of the prisoners, they had him cut off his own ear and eat it. A second one, they applied electrodes to his genitalia and kept giving him bursts of electricity. Now, I don't know what that feels like, but I gotta tell you what, I'd spill my guts on the second surge. I'd tell them anything they wanted to know. All right. So anyway, they then, after they interrogate him, they turn him over to the Russians. The Russians are interrogating him. The Russians have obtained enough information from these 4 on their cell phones, on items on their person, that they have arrested 40 more people suspected of terrorism. All right. Now, my question is, everybody says these are ISIS. All right. ISIS has not been a deal since Trump left office. They have little groups. They're in different places. The United States has used them in Syria and in Iraq. And yes, you heard me right. We are using them against some of the other factions. All right. Now, a real Islamist, if you look at some of the film there that is available online, when they recite the Shahada, I believe is how it's pronounced, watch them closely. A true Muslim, if they basically want to give you some visual information, if they use their left hand and finger, that is used to signal an unclean act. Now, the Shahada is, it's not a holy book with them, but it's very important. It's revered. And if they actually are Muslims, they will use their right finger anytime they recite this. Okay. So we have the questionable people that are involved. Are they Islamists? Are they not? We have the German police and military within 100 feet of where all of this has taken place, and they don't respond. Now, can you honestly believe in your own mind that they are terrorists, or were they somebody that was hired by NATO, the United States, or someone else to facilitate this attack?
You said German police. Did you mean Russian police?
You're Russian, yes.
Yeah. Just making sure.
Right. Now, the one last thing that makes me really wonder, all right, these people did nothing. They tried to conceal their identity. They did not have any of the explosive packs on them or anything like that, like a lot of terrorists do. They want to basically cause all the damage they can. All right. But these guys didn't have that. They were wanting to escape into Ukraine. There was already a plan set up for them. And this is information that's been confirmed on 5 different levels. All right. They had an escape plan. If they wouldn't have used their cell phones, the Russians would not have caught them and the Chechens. Okay. But here's the big deal. As they're interrogating these people, one of them admitted he was paid $5,500 to do this. So you take all of the facts and you look at them. Are these truly ISIS personnel? Are they NATO proxies? Who are they? So, I mean, as we go on through some of this other stuff today, this stuff is not as it seems. So you really have to let it boil down and really look into it to get the facts.
Yeah, it really is just crazy, the kind of stuff that's happening. And yeah, I think what's really weird is, you know, some of us have been kind of talking about this and looking for it and watching for it. And we seem, you know, particularly tuned into global events and especially this year leading up to the election here in the United States. And yet, even still, things are happening. And it takes a couple of days before you realize, wait a minute, could that be part of a bigger plot or a bigger plan? And so I tell you what, I'm glad we've got the Word of God to give us the true north and the rock on which to stand, and the reminder that, you know, through faith alone and Christ alone, eternity is secure. We don't ever have to doubt or wonder. We're a child of God. Yes, we may go through tribulation just as Jesus promised us we would, but this is not something that a believer should fear, because for a believer, death is already defeated. You know, it's that Christ defeated death. And so death is just the golden key that unlocks the riches of eternity for us. We get to go see our Savior and all of our loved ones that have gone before us in heaven. So, yeah, I mean, it's complex, isn't it, Randy? Really hard to see how it's all fitting the broader narrative of the Luciferian conspiracy.
Well, you have to go to so many different sources, resources, and sift through it and think about it, to the point where very few people have time. I mean, okay, let's talk about the CBDC, all right? There is a CPA online. Her name is Lena Petrova, all right? Now, Jerome Powell, our head of the Fed, last week said, CBDC, we're not in any rush for it. Don't think we're going to use it, da-da-da-da-da-da. The man is a blatant liar, all right? Now, you heard that here. And I will take full responsibility for that, for the simple reason. Ms. Petrova yesterday had a nice little, what do I want to say, show on YouTube, whatever. All right, SWIFT. They are basically the clearinghouse for transactions among different companies or countries. All right. They are saying that within 12 months to 24 months, they're going to change their entire clearinghouse to accept CBDC. All right. So what he told us was complete garbage. This is already taking place and he knew it, but he didn't admit it. Okay. So the government will be in full and complete control of your money within 12 to 24 months. Now, I'm going to go over something. It's a lot sooner than that in just a second. Okay. So anyway, they do these international settlements, the SWIFT group does. And basically, if I buy something in France, they do all the conversions and all of the information before it comes to my bank here in America. They are the ones that are responsible for matching up the currencies, right? Okay. Now, when Jerome Powell basically said, we're not going to worry about that, we don't need it. Janet Yellen has said the same thing. And then they have all of the stuff that's here right now. You have to wonder, okay? Now, there are 200 countries where CBDC is being looked at right now. There are over 1,000 banks that are experimenting with it, experimenting aggressively to the point they're ready to implement. They're not just studying it. They're ready to implement it any time. All right. If they wanted to implement it tomorrow, they could. Now, when I hear this stuff, I always take with a grain of salt. I checked into what she was telling me. First off, you have to have a digital ID to use CBDC. If you look at our friends to the north, the Canadians, they are introducing digital IDs at birth. So are some other countries. They are going with everything they need. So the United States is right there with them, I can guarantee you. But I called my bank. And I put one of the managers on the spot. I go, okay, this is what I'm hearing. She said, well, okay, I'm going to be honest with you. CBDC is available right now. It's voluntary. And we have chosen not to go with it yet. But she said, before the end of the year, it will be mandatory. If you want to be in the banking industry, you will either join it or you'll be out there by yourself.
Yeah, I tell you what, that's why people need to really be thinking now about alternative ways to store their money. I mean, obviously, you've got to keep enough in the banks to, you know, pay your mortgage or those types of things. But to whatever extent you can function without using your checking account. And by the way, I definitely, and I'm not a financial advisor, neither is Randy, but this is just my own personal opinion. I definitely wouldn't stockpile, you know, money in savings accounts or credit unions or even investment accounts at this point. If you can't touch it, you don't own it. And so if you can't walk into the next room or some hidden place where you've got a safe and put your hands on it, then it's very vulnerable. But I know you have to leave funds in your standard, you know, revolving accounts that you use to make, you know, payments and to live life. But I certainly wouldn't keep a bunch of excess in there. And I don't know the answer. I know we struggle with the same thing, Wendy and I, on the best way to do it, but be prepared. I mean, use it for now. Use the conveniences that we have for now, but have a plan to where if you need to drop off the grid, for at least financially, you can.
Yeah, and the really disturbing thing, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised anymore, is how they blatantly lie. Jerome Powell has been quoted, and I have seen the interview where he said none of this can take place without the president and Congress being involved. They would have to have and put forth the legislation to allow this. And then we find out it's all ready to be used, and our government's done nothing to allow it. So all of this is going on behind our backs. We have no idea what the truth actually is, but it's interesting how a little bit is falling out every once in a while so that we get a good view of what is going on.
Yeah, we're talking with Randy. My name is JB Hickson with NBW Ministries. And Randy, one of the things that I've worried about for a long time, not worried in a sinful sense, but just, you know, had my eye on, although I got to admit, sometimes it does bring anxiety and we have to just turn that over to the Lord and trust Him. But this UBI, this universal basic income, I think what they're going to do is collapse the economy through some type of multi-pronged attack. It could be any number of things that you and I have talked about. We talked about it last year on our preparedness series that we did on Saturdays. But whenever that unfreezing event comes to fruition, at that point, people are going to be desperate. And so as a carrot to get you to sign on to the universal basic income, they're going to say, look, we'll give you an upfront amount, $10,000 or whatever that is, and you sign up. And then And then they've got you because people, you know, at that point, they won't be able to have their jobs. You know, if something cataclysmic happens, they won't have a means to an end. So they'll be happy to take whatever handouts they can get. But once you've signed on to that, then they've got you right where they want you. They can turn it on and off. They can control it. They can tell you what you can spend. They can, just as easily as they can give it to you, they can take it away. So I think all of this is tied to that, the central bank digital currency and the coming digital ID.
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's an excellent point, because there will be something happen that will trigger this probably way before the end of the year. You know, when the WEF says you're going to have a cyber attack this year, and when we have our government warning about all of the illegal immigrants and everything else, you know there is something coming that will precipitate them declaring martial law or over the weekend changing everything. I mean, the insurance companies are in deep doo-doo. They've been running with losses over 100% for a couple of years now. Since the losses over 100%, they tried raising rates. That didn't help them at all. So we know that insurance companies are in trouble. We know the banks are in trouble. We know that it's all coming. It's just, what is that one thing going to be, or maybe multiple things, that finally sets it off?
And just so our listeners understand, deep doo-doo, that's a technical term for really bad, right?
Yes, it's me cleaning it up for the audience. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. We're so grateful for you, Randy.
Yeah, you really don't want me to use the language I've got on some of this, because this stuff is out of hand. Now, I am given hope, because Mr. Trump is now selling Bibles. $59.99. It is called the God Bless the USA Bible. And I'm going, what? Excuse me. I know he's desperate for money, but does this make sense to anybody? I know he and Lee Greenwood thought it up together, and that's great. But I'm going, how does it get any more bizarre than the way this is going, right?
Yeah.
Look at P. Diddy.
I have a hard time with that. I was talking about that yesterday, and you know, I know we've got some Trump fans in our listening audience, and I respect that. You know, obviously everybody understands he's better than the alternative, but if, you know, having studied him, I read two or three different biographies when I was writing Spirit of the Antichrist Volume 2 in about him, and really did a deep dive into his background and some of the stuff that he's involved in, and I just, to me, it's just blasphemous, that, you know, the thought of that. But you know, the really sad part is how many Christians will jump on that bandwagon and buy those Bibles. You know, I just it's shameless the way he is targeting Christians to gain his support, and it's even more shameless the way many Christians are jumping on that bandwagon. But you know, folks can do their own research and come to their own conclusions. I respect differing views on that. It's a crazy world of politics, for sure.
No, exactly. Well, you know, I was watching some of Biden's speeches. I like to review a few of those every week just to make sure I think he's still nuts, and I do. But the other day, he is starting his speech in front of a big crowd. He stops. He leaves the podium. He leaves the stage, and he goes out into the audience to give a little girl a hug and sniff her hair. Now, if I'm the parent, the Secret Service doesn't have a chance getting there before I'm done. I mean, for crying out loud, what is going on? P. Diddy, I guess he's a rapper. I don't follow him. I don't know. I don't care. But they're closing in on him for sex trafficking, right? Trafficking little kids. And he leaves the country. Now, I probably would have left the country too, but he went to Cape Verde, who does not have an extradition contract with the United States. And the comments yesterday were, this will be bigger than Epstein.
Huh.
So when you stop and think about that, you've got to think Hollywood is totally satanic. Huh. I mean, the music industry, the film industry, you know, and then we come back to home. And the Mexican president basically is threatening to increase the immigration into the United States. Now, he won't do that if we remove all of the sanctions against Venezuela and some of these other countries. We lift the embargo on Cuba, and we grant work visas to all the illegal immigrants. And he'd like a cash payment of $20 billion. Now, I'm going, if that's an ally, we don't need an enemy, for crying out loud. I don't know. You know, Canada's rolling out the social credit system. Bank accounts are going to be tied to your obedience score. Now, Trudeau has come out in the last week and admitted this. And I'm going, is there anybody left in the world that doesn't know what's going on? And then last, well, not quite last, but we have Israel. All right. Israel, those poor people there, I feel so sorry for them. Caught between a rock and a hard place, right? Now, they had the United Nations basically call for a ceasefire the other day, which the United States did not veto. So basically, everybody now is pointing to Israel and say, you need to stop. You need to stop now. Well, Netanyahu says, if we don't go into Rafah, we don't take care of Hamas and Hezbollah, we will cease to exist. And I think he's probably right. But the United States, as we said from the beginning, is pulling away. Kamala Harris is making even bigger threats than Biden is. And how long is it going to be before we are no longer supplying them with any aid, with not only weapons, but food, oil, etc.? Canada has already ceased providing them with any weapons, with anything, basically. And so basically, you know, they're looking at us as their last hope. And Biden is trying to sneak off like he did in Afghanistan, and like I think he probably will in the Ukraine. So,
yeah, I mean, it's crazy what's happening to Israel. It's very profound prophetic implications, because they are becoming more and more isolated. And, you know, as scripture foretells, there are going to come a time when there's nobody there to defend them, you know, including the United States. And so, yeah, I don't know. And as far as Biden, you know, we're getting closer and closer now. March is about gone. Before long, we'll be into April, and the months just march on as we get closer and closer to the election. And it's looking more and more like a Trump-Biden lineup. Of course, a lot can happen between now and then, so we just don't know. It's a very fluid situation. But you had RFK Jr. picking his running mate, a Silicon Valley person. I was not familiar with her. Maybe some people were, but seems like fairly obscure, at least in the mainstream. Not sure quite what to make of that. Again, that seems to throw a wrinkle in the traditional election concept if we had real elections. But it just remains to be seen what the plan is of the Luciferians. Do they want another, do they need more time? So they need Biden in there for more time, just kind of a placeholder? Or are they ready to move across the finish line and complete their task of collapsing America and ushering in the New World Order? Time will tell. And of course, you know, time always seems to speed up when you're in the midst of a crisis. So maybe this has years to go. We just don't know. I've talked a lot about the 2020s, and that seems to be a target year. So we know what they're desiring, but you just never know. This is why we've got to hold on to our, you know, our trust in the Lord. We're saved by faith, and we also live by faith, not by sight, knowing that God knows best. So, yeah, crazy, crazy.
You know, if we didn't have the good Lord to look forward to, we would be in despair. Yeah. No doubt about it. Yeah. Now, the last thing I want to bring up is China. All right. Something's gonna go off there pretty quick, because Taiwan has now installed the Patriot missile batteries on the island. The U.S. has special forces, basically Green Berets, that are on Tinman Island, 6 miles from the Chinese coast. All right. China is now getting into it with India. They each have 150,000 troops on each side in the Himalayas, basically looking like they want to start a war. Now, one thing about the Indians and the Chinese when they're in the Himalayas, they do not possess rifles. They do not possess knives. They fight with clubs, 2x4s, whatever they have available. They are not allowed to have weapons because of the escalation possibilities in that type of a situation. So at least somebody thought through this. You know, you want to go beat on somebody, you know, beat them up, bloody them up, and then go home. But the one last thing that I noted of any interest at all, Utah and Texas will no longer reimburse anyone for transplants done in China because of the forced organ harvesting there. Evidently, a lot of people are going over there for kidneys and different organs. They take their political prisoners, get what they need, and provide that for the patients. So as you see, the world, it's got to be about done. How much further can we go?
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that really helps, though, obviously our relationship with the Lord, which is paramount, but also with each other. You know, I'm so glad we've got, you and other friends, and we've got each other, and I've got Wendy, and we can navigate this world together. We've got family. And I know some people are more isolated than others. I'm acutely aware of that. I get emails all the time from people that are either elderly or maybe, disabled or for other reasons are kind of on their own, living alone, living in housing, places, retirement homes, that kind of thing. And so I get it, but you know, Jesus is always with us. He promised that in Matthew 28. You think about the words of our Lord to the children of Israel on the banks of the Jordan in Joshua, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. And so that's Joshua 1:9. So, folks need to just more than ever look up and be watchful and, set our minds on things above. Lots going on, here at the ministry. We've got just marching forward with some new initiatives. We've got the audiobooks coming out soon, or at least the first one, which will be Spirit of the False Prophet on Audible. We've got a new app coming. Brooke is working really hard on that with our developers. We've got lots of events coming up. And of course, we're about to celebrate the resurrection on Sunday. This reminds us of the new life we have in Christ. It's just an exciting time to be alive. And even this very week, it just feels like there's just a lot going on, both on the heaviness side as well as just the rejoicing side. So I just pray folks will stay in the Word of God, stay grounded in the Word, and stay tuned in. So we've got some great stuff coming. Gary Kaa is going to give us kind of the 35,000 foot view tomorrow of the New World Order and the Luciferian conspiracy. He's been studying this forever, award-winning author. Randy, any closing thought? Oh, by the way, how are the Houthis today? Are they?
They're all right now. Can you see my t-shirt?
Yes, awesome dashing. That's all I can see. What else does it say? Awesome dashing?
Dachshund, yeah.
Dachshund, sorry.
Yeah, yes, they voted last night and I won. So,
you're the favorite of the three. Well, something tells me there might have been some voter intimidation there. I don't know.
But, no intimidation. They just like treats. Treats and more treats.
Yeah, they're like the general public. Give them cake and circus, and they'll just keep watching, American Idol and ignoring what's going on.
it's funny watching them because sometimes when I'm going over this, I know I'm mumbling to myself. And they just kind of cock their head and look at me like, has he lost it? Or where is he at?
I mean, the answer is an emphatic yes. You have lost it, no doubt about it. I can remember one time driving one of my kids when they were younger, when they were still in a car seat in the back. And I was doing that very thing, talking to myself. And one of the kids goes, Daddy, who are you talking to? And it kind of jolted me back into reality. So, yeah, we all talk to ourselves. But the nice thing is I agree with myself most of the time, so I don't get any back.
Well, you're right. If you're talking to yourself, you're right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which side, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't mind talking to myself. It's just when myself answers back that I start to really get worried,
That's what they say, yes. That's good to know ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, Randy, thanks so much. Folks, have a great rest of the week. Spread this podcast far and wide. Sign up for our newsletter, notbyworks.org. Lots of great stuff there. Don't forget to check out the online store for some of our free content in the free section of our online store. God bless everyone. Have a great week.